Okay, so our first speaker from Auburn University, David Dreyer, and his title is Multi-Year Study of the Temporal Variability of Fusarium Oxysporum, Formis specialis, Vaccin Infectum, Races as Influenced by Cotton Cultivar and the National Cotton Fusarium Wilt Evaluation Field in Alabama, and he wins the award for the longest title. All right, David.
Oh, yes, I won't read the title again because, as he said, it's very long. But basically what we're doing is we're looking at the temporal variability of FOV races and genotypes as they are spread out through this particular field in Alabama. So just a brief background. I know we've heard a lot about FOV so far, so I won't go through a whole lot of this, but just a little bit. It was first reported back in 1892, actually in the state of Alabama, by a professor by the name of Atkinson's. And I recently found out, what you may not know, probably familiar with his plant pathology work, but he was also an assistant football coach at the university. So, fun fact for you. Since this time of its original discovery, it has now been reported in every major cotton-growing region around the world, the most recent of which where it was found was Australia, and it was found there in 1993. So it's estimated that in the U.S., cotton production produced about 20 million bales. At least that's what it was last week or so when I looked on the USD website. And of that, FOV is estimated to have caused about a 60,000 bale loss in yield for the 2019 year. So the races that I spoke about of these FOV were originally separated out through a host differential test using several cotton lines and then some non-cotton hosts as well, determining resistance or susceptibility. And eight races were split out during that time over many of years of this research. But further testing with both host differential tests like this and later genetic testing found some of these to be identical or at least very similar. So they found that 3 and 5 were very similar to each other, as well as 4 and 7. So that, you know, really gives us 6 races that we have. But to complicate things a little more, there are also different biotypes which have been found in Australia. That was those 1993 study that found that. And then several different genotypes that have been found across the United States, several LA genotypes of this, and also an MDS-12, which has also been referred to as a race 4-like. And we'll talk more about this in a few minutes. So the objectives of the study were first to assess the population diversity of FOV in this National Cotton Fusarium Wilt Evaluation Field that is located at the plant breeding unit of the E.V. Smith Research Station in Tallahassee, Alabama. This is a field that, from what I have found out, at least for 50 years has been used for fusarium wilt testing, and there's no telling how long before that it was planted to cotton and had fusarium wilt and created problems. But I know for 50 years that it has been used for testing of fusarium wilt of different cotton lines that have been produced by breeders across the country. And then the second objective was to evaluate the temporal variability of these races as they're popping up throughout the season. So are we seeing all the race ones come in the first few weeks and then other races show up later, or are they kind of all just spread out through the season? So the test was planted in 2018, and then 2 tests were planted in 2019, all in this fusarium wilt nursery at this location. So that gave us a total of 3 tests. 8 cotton cultivars were planted in all 3 of these tests. They were all set up the same way. 5 of those were upland cultivars, 2 were Pima, and 1 was an Acala. And I'll go over why I chose these in just a minute. We did have a Rowden, which is a highly susceptible variety. It's kind of used as a susceptible check in this test, and a M315, which is very resistant to root knot and used as a resistant check. And those were both included in the test twice to give us 10 total treatments. And it was all arranged in a Latin square design, 10 replications. So the reason that these were chosen and these variety or these cultivars were used were, again, the Rowden and the M315. That was our susceptible and resistant check, respectively. Then we also had a couple of other root knot resistant varieties, Phytogen 480 and a Delta Pine 1558. And this 1558 variety is kind of unique because it, while being resistant to root knot, which usually goes hand in hand with good, at least tolerance to FOV, we do see this one being a little more susceptible to FOV. We had a root knot tolerant variety in Stoneville 4946, the Acala variety, a Phytogen 72, which is resistant to at least several races of FOV, but susceptible to root knot, and then the two Pima cultivars, a Phytogen 800, which is very resistant to race 4 of FOV specifically, but susceptible to some of the other races like race 1 and many of the genotypes. And then a Pima S7, which is, again, back to the kind of that susceptible across the board to both FOV and root knot. So these were all chosen based on those resistance or susceptibility traits to either the root knot nematode or the fusarium wilt pathogen. Sample collection was done in this field. For the first 6 weeks of the season, it was done on a weekly basis, and that was because we wanted to really hone in on this part of the season. From what I had heard from California and now from Texas, where they have been found in race 4, it seemed to be more predominant in the early season, so we really wanted to focus in on this part. And then after that six-week period, we moved to biweekly sampling. Any samples that were collected were taken from plants that showed some kind of symptoms of fusarium wilt, whether that be wilting, chlorosis or necrosis of the leaves. Anything that resembled fusarium wilt symptoms were collected from the field and brought back to the lab for isolation of the fungi. The isolation came from the vascular tissue of the plant at the lower section of the stem, upper section of the root. Those were surface sterilized and then plated out onto acidified potato dextrose auger. And then after 7 to 10 days, once we got some growth there, the fusarium isolates that had grown on those plates were subcultured out onto new plates. Let's see. The DNA extraction was then taken from those pure cultures that were made off of new PDA plates. And the DNA extraction was done by a Zymo Research Fungal Bacterial Mini Prep Kit. That extracted DNA was then used for sequencing of several genes to identify what race or genotype that we were finding in this field. So the elongation factor, beta tubulin, and the phosphate polymerase were sequenced for all of the isolates that were collected. I will say that I'm still working on the beta tubulin and the phosphate polymerase for the 2019 samples. So everything that's going to be presented here is just the elongation factor. But that one's been pretty good in separating out what these different races are. We haven't had much trouble with that. And then the IGS region that you see down here on the bottom, I'll go a little more into that later, but it was only used for a select number of samples that we needed a little more clear picture of what they were. So over the year, or over the 2 years and the three tests, this is kind of what we ended up with when we ran a phylogenetic analysis of everything. So in 2018, we had 132 isolates of FOV that were collected, and nearly 500 in 2019. And it was somewhere a little over 500. I'm still working on the last few isolates that I've had trouble getting some sequences done of those, but they will be shortly done. And I know these are a little hard to see. There's just a lot going on there, so I've made a more condensed tree that we can look at here that shows where everything falls out. And by condensing this tree, all I did was combine the identical isolates together into one isolate. So as you can see this one here at the top, these were all the 2019 isolates that were collected and were identical there. And in parentheses is the number of isolates that was. So there were 174 that had that identical sequence. And that particular one happened to match to race 1. So how it broke down over all the different races and genotypes that we found. Over the 2 years, we found 8 different races or genotypes of FOV. 7 of those we found in 2018, and then in 2019, we found one additional genotype in LA112 that was not found in 2018. The predominantly was race 1 throughout both years and all the tests that were done. However, there were high levels of race 2, race 8, and the genotype LA108. I would like to point out, I'm going to talk a little more now about these isolates here that you see in green. Using the elongation factor, the beta tubulin and the phosphate permeaase, at least the primers that I have been using, they're not specific enough to separate out these isolates to determine if they are this MDS12 or race 4 light type of isolate, which was originally found in Alabama as much less pathogenic than what you hear about the race 4 in California and Texas, or if they were race 4. So there was still a question about that. So we did more studies to determine what these were. And this is where the IGS sequencing comes into play. But we did several steps to look at this. First, we looked for TFO insertions into the PHO gene. It has been found in recent years, several of the race four isolates that have been collected throughout Texas and maybe California as well have this insertion into the PHO gene that is not seen in race four isolates in other parts of the world. So we wanted to look at this, and I put just a few of the samples up here to see what we're looking at. I did not include them all because there were quite a few, and it just kind of got messy when I put them all up there. However, when we ran the multiplex PCR to look for these, you can see that the bands appeared the same for all of our other races as well as these samples that were found. If they had one of these other insertions, you would get a larger DNA fragment, and the band would be produced at a different part in the gel than what you see here. However, there are some isolates that don't have these insertions of race four, so that doesn't definitively tell us, but gives us a good idea of what we're working with. So moving forward from there, we sequenced with race four specific primers. We had no amplification of anything with the primers that were used. And then the final and probably most informative was sequencing of the IGS gene. This is a gene that is specific enough to actually separate out these race 4 from these MDS12 or these race 4 isolates. And as you can see on the tree here, all of the isolates that were collected and were in question fell into one of these two clades here or down here at the bottom, which matched to one of these MDS12 isolates. There were a couple of them out there. But the important takeaway from this is that we had none that matched to race 4. So as of now, we still have not found that in Alabama, thank goodness. So just a little of how all of this broke down. The races of FOV that were found, nearly 40% of them were race 1, and that was significantly more than any other races that we found. However, we had high rates of LA108 as well as race 8 and race 2. How these broke down across the different cultivars that we looked at, most of the samples came off of our highly susceptible Rowden Czech, nearly 50%. And then we had lesser amounts of most of these others. However, the one isolate here, the one cultivar of Delta Pine 1558 is our nematode-resistant cultivar, but it has susceptibility to FOV, and we can see that it was significantly increased over several of the other cultivars that were included in this test and the number of fusarium isolates that were collected off of it. This chart here is a little bit of a lot going on here, but it's basically broken down by year. And what this shows is for each of the cultivars, it shows the proportion of the samples collected that fell into each of the race groups. So, for instance, on this first Rowden cultivar here in 2018, this blue indicates that about 34-35% of those were race one, and so on and so forth. And the numbers across the top just give you an indication of how many isolates were collected off of that cultivar during that year. I'm not going to go through all of this because there is a lot going on, but I just want to point out a few things. You see the general trend looks the same between both years, but we do have a few things that stand out. Our LA112 genotypes that we found did show up in a couple of cultivars in 2019 that we did not see in 2018, and that was the M315 and the Phytogen 480. Those are both root knot resistant varieties, so I don't know if there's something there, if that's a genotype that maybe doesn't require as much of the nematode pathogens. I don't have the nematode number up here, but it was significantly reduced over many of the other varieties. And then the MDS12 isolates in 2018, we only found it on the Rowden cultivar, but then in the more severe year of 2019, we found it on the majority of the cultivars that were planted in that field, including the Phytogen 800, which is a highly resistant to race 4. So that, again, goes back to show that they're showing up on this variety as well, that they're not a race 4 isolate. So the temporal distribution, as I said, all the weekly sampling that we did and the biweekly after the first 6 weeks, how did that all break down throughout the season? Well, we'll look here between the two seasons. We had many more samples in the 2019 years we already covered, but you can see kind of the same general pattern throughout the 2 years. Race one was the most predominant throughout the year, and we're looking here across the bottom is the DD60s. It's just a way to relate the 2 years with the different planting dates, different sampling times, and all of that. Relate between those 2 years, but we see the same general pattern. A regression analysis was done on all of this to see how do those relate to DD60s. As the DD60s accumulate, do we see more of any of these? For the most part, we didn't find anything significant with that. The only one that we could really relate was the LA110 variety, the LA110 genotype. And none of those samples were found until very late in the season. It was positively correlated with the DD60 accumulation we found in late August, early September, throughout the end of the season, but we never found any before that. So the conclusions, there's a wide variety of FOV races that are coexisting in this field, race one being the most predominant, but there are high levels of a few other genotypes and races. And LA110 is the only one that we could positively correlate with DD60s and say that as DD60s accumulate, we're more likely to find the LA110. So at this time, I'll take any questions that you have.